Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
One of the things that when I passed the cards out that I got back was to have a map in your hand, and we're working on that. Okay, that you'd have a map in your hand. And one of the requests, because that's been a few weeks ago now, was for Paul's travels. So you have a bigger map of that, kind of follow along Paul's travels. We're working on that. And also on the Fertile Crescent. So let's look at our Fertile Crescent, knowing that all the activities take place really in that green part when we're concerned about Genesis, okay? We'll go all the way from Ur. I know we haven't gotten there yet, okay? But we're going to work on Abram one day, Ur, and Haran up there top, then all the way down into Egypt, because we end Genesis in Egypt. So we're going to cover the entire Fertile Crescent in our study of Genesis. And we're moving along pretty good. And then we got one of the patriarchs. Don't we have a map of the patriarchs as well? And I'm not where you got all the cities of the patriarchs. I'm sorry? Yeah. Traveling around the Fertile Crescent. Yeah. And so we'll work on getting that, see how that turns out for us. We did chapter one. What was remarkable? One thing that was remarkable about chapter one, we want you to think about chapter one. What was remarkable? Kathy. Oh, great. Yeah, you want to say that again so everybody gets it? Amen. Whoa. I want to get to that part, okay? You know, but there's a trend nowadays to treat humanity like we infested the earth. We're like an infection. You hear them talking there. Oh, they're worried about population control, you know, and the population is getting way out of hand and that kind of thing. Yeah. we're going to run into such things tonight, probably, okay? That's why it's important to know that when the world was created, that's all good, but when it comes to humanity, it was very good. And I think we need to be reminded of that once in a while, okay? Chapter 2, what was remarkable in chapter 2? Anybody got something that was remarkable in chapter 2? You're on the spot again. Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Introduced to Yahweh. That's a great introduction, by the way. That's a great introduction. Okay, excellent. And then chapter 3, the fall. Somebody want to take something out of that? Chapter 3. I'm sorry? Great. Now, to me, that's a really important thing, hiding from God there, and God comes looking for you. That, to me, that's really important. Okay. So thank you, hon. That worked really good. Okay, chapter 4. That's where we start tonight, okay? And this will be about Cain and Abel. Story of Cain. Abel doesn't get to stay around very long. He gets out of the picture fairly soon, okay? So it's mainly about Cain, and we'll follow up on him, okay? Cain and Abel story. How many have heard it? Cain and Abel story? Everybody's got it here. Okay. We're good. We're good with that. Adam made love to his wife Eve. Some of you have a different translation for that. That's a little bit wordy here for the translation. Laid with his wife. Anybody got anything else? I'm sorry? Sex. Okay. And he knew his wife, which I think is, I'm sorry? I actually like this old wording the best. Knew his wife. Okay? Because once you start understanding that that was a euphemism for having intimate relations, sexual relations with your wife or with your husband, you know, you understand what it means then when you know Jesus. Or I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, Paul would say. So you kind of get the idea there that it means a great deal of intimacy and knowledge of the other person. So I like that that way of saying it. But this is, I mean, this is fine. We all get the idea, right? Look, people come into the world only one way. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And everybody starts with an X-rated activity. Not X-rated, okay. That's his plan. And then when the early church started questioning, 200 years after, whether sex was good or not, and they wound up with a certain class being celibate because of that. Make no mistake, it's a suspicion about the sex act itself. It's a real suspicion that maybe God did something wrong creating it the way he created. No, make no mistake. Okay, so Adam and Eve made love as adult humans are tending to do. They tend to do that. Have you noticed every time we try to keep them away from each other, they always find a way to get back together? You ever notice that? I wonder how that is. I wonder why that happened. God instilled into humanity the need to procreate. Okay? All right. And she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. I'm not exactly sure what she means by that. But she saw God helping her to bring forth a child on the earth. I'm not sure all of what she meant. Maybe some of the women would be able to clue me in on that. Okay, and I'm serious about that, because from a female perspective, things are different, and they're different. You heard about the book, the saying that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. If you didn't know that in your marriage, you've been out of touch, okay, because been going like this. Okay. All right, but somehow she understood that God had helped her to, and not more than just creating them that way, but God had helped her. Okay. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked with the soil. I have never heard a preacher, to say it that way, okay? Talk about this, okay? But it's something that I feel about the Old Testament writing, okay? Even carried over into the New Testament, is there's a real suspicion between the value of being nomadic, where you have herds and that kind of thing, and the urban lifestyle. I think, if I, it never comes out and says that in the text now, but I think there's a, that they kind of view the nomadic lifestyle as being a little bit more noble. A little bit more pure than living in the cities and the towns and that kind of thing. Okay. And you understand that the difference between nomadic lifestyle and then being a farmer. There's a big difference in that. You see that time and time again in the Old Testament. What was David doing when they came to anoint him? What was he doing? Tending the flock. A shepherd. Shepherd. One of the best things you can say about somebody, I think, in the Old Testament is that they were a shepherd. Okay? So we got to watch we don't get caught up into that when we start seeing that there's trouble between the two. Okay? But we still have to look and try to find out what the differences are. Right? Okay. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. That was his current... you want to say something? Go ahead. Oh, not yet. Okay, well, we will. But that was his currency. That was his currency. That's where he was getting his sustenance, and so he was going to sacrifice part of that. Okay? All right. And Abel also brought an offering. But what kind of offering did he bring? It is a firstborn. It is an animal. And to have a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, there will be the shedding of blood. That's very important. Oh. You might have something there. What portion did he bring? I think that's important. Okay. Go ahead. Start in. Don't go in forever. But if you slaughtered animals, you know that when you get down to the kidneys, very often there'd be a lot of fat around. That's a good animal. That's a healthy animal. That's an animal that's been eating really well. So that's the excellence of the animal. I think that's part of this too. It brought fat. Okay, he didn't bring some poor little runny, snotty-nosed goat. He brought what? Fat. Firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look favor. So you bring God something, and this he didn't pay as much attention to the other ones. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Okay. Anybody else want to say something? Here, you draw a distinction between the two. It's hard to do that. Now, it really is. You can't fault him for bringing the fruit of the soil because that was his currency. Well, that's what I'm. One of the things I'm hearing. Yeah, yeah. Where This is the essence of it. Fat, firstborn. Okay. That's exactly where I wanted to go with that. Yeah, it's exactly what I wanted to see with that. Yeah. No. Nope. So Cain was angry. And his face was downcast. Okay. It is one thing to be turned down. It's another thing to be angry about it. If you need to get in an anger management class, you get into one, okay? Because your anger will get you in trouble. You got to come learn to cope with anger issues if you have them at all. Because it will get you in trouble. And you've seen people, they're just caught in the terrible twos. You ask them something, they'll say no, and they're just like they're angry all the time. Okay? That's not good. Not good. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Why has your countenance fell? Why are you so upset? It's a good thing to talk about it and get it out there. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next one. If you do right, will you not be accepted? What's the Lord trying to talk to him about? Give him another chance, a second go. You didn't get it right here. Maybe you get it right the next time. Right? Yes. Go like this. Yes. But if you do not what is right, and here's as good an explanation about how sin acts in our life as you'll probably find in the Old Testament. But if you do what is right, sin, if you do not do what is right, sin is what? Crouching at the door, at your door. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it, or you must overcome it. You must somehow deal with it in a successful way. That's your job. What's your responsibility? Let me say that again. What's your responsibility when it comes to your sin? Rule over it. Overcome it. Deal with it. And what does the sin want? Here, if you get the pictures right, the word for crouching, like for an animal crouching down and ready to spring on you, what does the sin want to do? Control you? What? Yeah, pounce on you? Destroy you? Sorry? Who said that? Oh, there you are. No wonder I can't find you up there. Such a small voice anyway. Exactly. Exactly. Very good. Yeah. Excellent. So you get the picture that sin is at the door. Now, it's not always at the door for everybody. It's at the door for who here? It's Cain's problem. He's the one that has to deal with it. Nobody can deal with this but him. You can't blame this on your mama, your daddy, or anybody else. Can't even blame it on Abel. It's his problem. And he has to deal with it. And if he doesn't, it will devour him. Cain. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Did he mean to take him out there and kill him to begin with? We don't know. Was it premeditated, or did his anger just get him somewhere along the line? He couldn't help himself, and now he's committing that. How'd he kill him, by the way? That shows, you know, this is not the Bible here. Okay, the Bible is in the words. I don't think it says anyplace what he used. And killing something in that day, killing someone in that day was a job. No distance, no like kill them over there. No, you got to get right up close and personal to kill somebody. Now, this was an ugly act. Huh? Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. It's easy for brothers to get in rivalry with each other. It is easy. I only had one. It is easy to get in a rivalry with your brother. So I understand a lot of this. Okay. And this was very difficult, and this was ugly, to say the least. Okay? And as far as we know, there's not even any knives or swords involved here. Okay, I mean, this was mean. I mean, you have to be a mean son of a gun to do this. Okay, let's go ahead. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Now, I want you to listen to this interchange, okay? Where's your brother Abel? Well, that makes sense. By the way, isn't this something, boy, when the Lord asks you a question, it is really important that you answer this, okay? Yes. He's actually really shifty, this Cain. If you listen to him, he's real shifty. Okay, let me see. And he says, "I don't know." Well, he lied. He does know where he's at. Because the dead body will not move itself. It won't walk or talk or leave or anything. It'll just stay right there and waste away. He replied, and listen to this. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That answer is designed to get a no. It's designed to get a no. Because the word he used for keeper there is keeping animals. Like you would keep stock. And no, you're not to be keeping your brother like you keep stock. But the Lord's not asking him that. What's the Lord asking him? Deal with what you have done to your brother. And this is designed. He's cagey here. He's real crafty here. To craft that answer that's designed for, no, you're not your brother's keeper. But you do have a lot of responsibility, which you have failed to take, and which you have acted egregiously. Okay. Let me see. Your brother's keeper. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, what does that mean? His blood cries out to the Lord from the ground. What sacrifice is part of that? Yeah. You can't do that. You can't do that without repercussions. And there's no way to hide this kind of meanness and this kind of violence and sin. There's just no way to hide it. It cries out to God. It cries out for a lot of things. One thing it cries out for is justice. and cries out for a lot of other things too, but he cries out. Do you hear this as another way to explain the fall of humanity? Please, do hear that. Because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the fall. We started this out dealing with the fall to say how important it is and what a difficult thing it is to approach and how to dissect and how to answer. Which any answer that we give for it, it's just different. But you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it, all right? From the ground. Now you are under a curse. And what's his curse? His guilt. That's it. He's guilty. And his guilt will not leave him alone. Now you are under curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth and received your brother's blood from your hand. Lord knows he's guilty, obviously, and tells him, not only do I know it, you're the person, and let's get it right this time. Okay. When you work the ground, will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driven me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. What's he dealing with there? Persecution complex. Why is he dealing with persecution complex? He's guilty. Mike, you have a knack of getting right to it, don't you? Nah, wait a minute. Hey, hang on with that, Mike. Yeah, because we got this. It's unavoidable. It's coming and it's unavoidable. Okay. And I do not have an answer for you. All right. We will work on that. Okay. But you get the idea of guilt and complex. He has persecution complex because he's guilty. He's guilty. Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah, we don't know all he knows. He might know something. I'm sorry? But that animal would just be looking for protein. And here it's more than that. They're going to hunt him. Why? Because he killed his brother. That's what he's thinking. I'm not sure they are, okay? I'm not sure Adam would go along with this very well. This probably wouldn't be good if he told his daddy. You know, that wouldn't go very good. Okay? We good? All right, let's go to the next one, okay? But the Lord said to him, not so. Everyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. We can't avoid it, Kathy, okay? We can't avoid that question, okay? Yeah, it is there. I was going to say that even though Cain is guilty, and even though justice may reign if he's killed, still the person that kills him is going to feel guilt. Did you get it? There's no simple answers to these things. We're not like, well, we'll just get rid of Cain, we'll get rid of sin, everything will be fine. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Okay? All right. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, and I do not know what that is. Oh, that was good. That was good. That was really good. All right. That's the first time I actually heard that too. But there's some kind of mark on it. All right. So Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So not only have Eden, we have the land of Nod. now. Okay. Where we go from here? We go next. I got the story of, I wrote that as a heading on this, the story of Cain and culture. Okay? That's, I know that's weak, but All right. And this is the story. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Or Enoch. This is getting back to what Mike mentioned a while ago, and I'm hearing Kathy on the front row. The rest of you are just being quiet, trying to reserve so you can get right with that. She's a Noddite, I guess, huh? I don't know. Yeah. I don't have answers for this. Okay. Now, it doesn't say that he got his wife there. It says he made love to his wife when he got there. I don't know. Well, you got to deal with cousins now or whatever you deal with there. I don't know. That wasn't like part of their mix is to even talk about the girls anyway. And that's why I find it so crazy that you're reading the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and there's four women in there. Wow. Wow. Because of that very same, Mike, they just don't mention it. You know, it's vacant here. It's vacant. Wow. Okay, all right. So we don't have the answers for these things, okay? And it's almost like we know that there are other people out there, or there are people out there, put it that way. But we don't know where they come from. We don't know who they are. Nothing. They may be part of the family. I don't know. What? That's what it meant. Yeah, they may be part of the family. We don't know. It doesn't seem like that, okay? And it's not said that way. It's like he's outcast, and it is in the land of the outcast that he finds. What? Go ahead. Yes. Well, it doesn't say he met her there, but it's where they had, where they decided to start a family. Yeah, and then you got this list of people who were born there. The only big name there is Methuselah, because he's the one who lives the longest. In all the Bible, I think he's the one who lives the longest. You know. And I don't have an answer for how long these people lived either. I do like to mention, so this was actually before they had a calendar. Put that out there. All right. Go to the next line. Lamech married two women. I know this might shock our sensibilities, but there's no prohibition in all the Bible against having more than one wife. There's no prohibition in the Bible for that. Excellent point. A deacon or an elder should only have how many wives? One wife. That's all. But this guy's got two wives. Okay? No. There's no prohibition of having more than one wife, except like as Kathy mentioned, unless it is an elder or deacon. That's the only one. That's way over in the New Testament. Okay? I wouldn't go overboard with this like Solomon did. I think he had 1,000 women. Yeah, that's like the little boy went to Sunday school. He came home and his mother asked him, "What did you learn in Sunday school?" He says, "Solomon was a great farmer." "What do you mean by that?" "Well, he had 700 wives and 300 combines." Yeah, I did just want to point that out. It's because it bothers us, sensibility. But now, if you ask me, I think the best way to go, and I think for culture to have proved this out time and time again, one man, one woman. I just really think it's really, I'm serious. Now, I love the joke, but I realize that's more of a philosophical statement than it is a biblical statement. Okay? I just realize that for myself. Okay. There might not be a divorce, but there might be a killing. So, okay. All right. Lamelech, is that the way it says? The father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. Remember we talked about that? That's the nomad style of life, okay? And it would be how generally how America sees cowboys. You know, that's kind of a romantic thought about living free and that kind of thing. This is always part of their conversation, too, of being a shepherd. They live in tents, you see. They don't have built structures. Okay, no. All right. By the way, Paul was a tent maker. That was really common. Paul was a tent maker. All right. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of those who played stringed instruments and pipes. Now we're getting into, yeah, that's a bunch of hillbillies probably sitting around playing their guitars and stuff. You hear, he hears me. It's crazy stuff, okay? But it's trying to say, okay, and Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister, Naamah. Okay. It's a little bit out of line for me. What were you going to say, Kevin? Okay, a little bit out of line for me. Not so much the working with bronze, but the working with iron, which really doesn't appear till much later in human history than here. Okay, that's all. But now, not the bronze, which would be copper and tin, I think, that kind of thing. All right. It's much easier to work with than iron. Smelt iron takes a lot of heat and takes a lot more technology. All right, we'll go to the next one. Lamelech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Listen to me, wives." Oh, by the way, do you have that? And was it 23? Yeah. You look at your Bible in 23. We don't have it up here on the board that way. Do you see anything different with the arrangement of the words in your Bible? 4:23? Okay. Do you see any difference in the arrangement of the words in your Bible? Yes, it's in poetry form, which means it was probably a song. Yeah. Okay. When you see that change of structure like that, it's probably a song that they learn how to sing. "Listen to me, wives of Lamelech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, Lamelech 77 times." Okay. Probably a song in which he sang. Verse 25 now. Next slide, I think. Yeah, next slide. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in the place of Abel, since Cain killed him." So everybody knows by this time. everybody knows. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enoch. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, I'm assuming that it's saying the name of God. In other words, we're not just talking about a God in general now. We're talking about a God that has a personal name, and we're talking about a specific God. At that time, began to call on the name of the Lord. And does that end the chapter? Yes. That ends the chapter. Now, the next chapter, we got it printed out, but it is... Oh, notice how the chapter 5 starts out. This is the written account of Adam's line. This whole thing is just genealogy. The entire chapter is just genealogy, okay? So, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just go ahead, if it's okay with you, because I don't want to read those names. Were you going to say something, Joan? Oh, okay. I don't want to read those names, all right? But I want to tell you, anytime you have to read those names, you're not held responsibility for the way you pronounce them, okay? And that is a way for me to beg mercy from you. Don't hold me responsible for the way to pronounce them. And let me remind you again, the very time that you think you work real hard and you can pronounce that name wrong, I guarantee you somebody well-learned will pronounce it differently. Okay, that's just the nature of the beast, okay? You got to get used to that. We do not use this language anymore. This is, well, like, no, they, no, seriously, it's a real guy. And with very, not of emphasis on vowels at all. Okay, but it's all different than what we're used to. Especially me, okay? So we have a whole chapter here, really. If you notice, this is a written account. Notice it even divides itself off, a written account about Adam's line, okay? All right? Chapter 6. Go ahead. Oh yeah, I read it all. Okay, I read it all. Okay, and they were doing it. Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know if they're popping them out right and left, but they're still working on it. So population could really grow, and quickly. I'm sorry. Well, we don't have, we're not told that here. If you took an average here, I think. I'm buying into that, okay? So let's go on up to chapter 6, okay? Because we got our plate full with chapter 6, all right? Our plate will be full with that. But we'll work on chapter 6, okay? Cause of the flood. That would be our first talking point, okay? Chapter 6, verse 1. All right? Yeah, that's fine. Okay. When human beings began to increase, and that's just what we were talking about, increasing in number, as humans tend to do, in number of the earth, daughters were born to them. There's a mention of the daughters. There they are. The sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful. Isn't that a great discovery? I think they made some kind of discovery there. We've known that for a long. No, go ahead. Now, go ahead. It appears that way. Let's read up there. Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Got it. All right. Let me see. Daughter's born. Son of God, so the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose. Well, obviously, you're not going to marry a woman you don't choose. So you marry the ones you choose. Okay? Says, now that one looks good. I'll take that one. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be numbered 120 years. So now we got the first shrinking here of that. Okay, so we got them down to 120 years now. Okay. Yeah. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans, and they had children by them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. Now, Mike's already mentioned the Nephilim here. Okay. Now, that was a word that I thought was worth picking apart. Because those names always are familiar. You'll love this. You know what that is? That's the word for fallen. Oh, I know. Man, I thought, oh my gosh. When I first read that name for fallen. And it is put in such a way that is the fallen ones. That's the Nephilim. Okay? The sons of God. Yes. Now, I think the Nephilim show up in the land later, too, when they're spying out the land, I think, and that kind of thing. I think, actually, they're mentioned there. Well, there was a giant Philistine. Yeah. Goliath. Well, but but it sounds like they were there when they'd spied out the land, okay? Yeah. And then we do have a giant later that comes on the Philistines. There's the sons of God appear every once in a while in the Old Testament. Not regularly, but they do appear. It looks like, and doesn't say for sure, Mike, okay, but it looks like the Nephilim are the offspring of the sons of God and the women of human. It looks like that. I'm not, but it doesn't actually say that to be sure. Okay? Well, let us look at Wikipedia and see what that. Yeah. Yes, and I thought we would do, Ellie, is look at a couple of places, and again, they only appear a couple of places. Okay, so we look at one of the most prominent places, which is Job, where they appear in Job. Okay. Let me give me just a second here. Job 1:6, okay? If you have your Bibles, it might be helpful, but somebody will come up and read it. Job 1:6, I think, is the first one there. Are we ready? One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Now, it sounds like to me like it's going to hold, God's holding a court. Yeah, okay, you get the same sense I get, okay? That God's holding a court, and there are people who are coming to the court, not people, as well. There are angels we know coming to the court, and among them is Satan. Again, this is one of the very few appearances of Satan in the Old Testament. Very few. Okay? Just doesn't appear. Right. Except very few. Couple. Next one is 2:1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Another day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. Now, if you know you're going to go to court, you have to, the court of God, you have to dress in a certain way and everything has to be done a certain way. Okay? So that's, there's another one in 38:7, much of the same thing, 38:7. Oh, look. And all the angels shouted for joy. Now there's some different angels in Isaiah 6. If you want to, we got a couple minutes here. Let's turn to Isaiah 6. If I remember right, that's where these angels appear. Seraphims. These have a special name. These are special angels. These are seraphims. Let's just start with 1 and 2. We'll have to go into 3, though, if we're going to do that, okay? In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, here's a man who's in the temple worshiping, and he has a vision from God. Isaiah. Above him were seraphims, each with 6 wings. So we know that this is different from what we read before, but these are angels nonetheless. And they are seraphims. They have 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's a vision that Isaiah had. Now, these are angels that are much different than what we have over in Genesis, if we think those are angels. Okay. One other text before we go. This is just, we'll come back, we're going to come back to this, okay? Because we just kind of talked about it and got it started tonight, okay? One other text before we go is Psalm 8. Verse 5. Psalm 8, verse 5. And we'll come back to this too, okay? You made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and if you're looking at it any little bit, you have a different reading of that than I do. Okay? Do we have some other readings of that Psalm 8:5? I like that translation the best. Thank you, Diane. That the word there is Elohim, by the way. The word there is Elohim. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you, okay? Can I muddy the waters anymore for you? We'll work at that, okay? Now, we will work through this and come up with something, okay? We'll come up with the best we can, all right? The sons of God saw the daughters of humans and said, wow. Said, wow. Every one of us guys get that, don't we? I understand that. I understand that. Okay. Guys, I hope you're having fun. Seriously. Hey, by the way, the more you laugh about this stuff, honest, the more you will learn. Trust me about that, okay? The more you laugh, and if you're willing to kind of let it take its shape for you, but don't force it into something, okay? But let it take its shape for you. You'll be surprised how far down the road you'll get doing that. Lord will lead you. You'll be surprised how Lord can lead you in those things, okay? Let's close in prayer, all right? Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. It's so marvelous to our hearts and to our lives.